providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments that I spent with Peter Buchvar. Now, we are going to continue to focus more broadly on the markets in this segment as I am chatting with Richard Postma, aka Doc. But also, as I mentioned in that first segment, I'm going to focus a bit more on some of the technical factors and charts that I think everybody should be paying a close attention to. I'm starting the technical conversation off here with Doc. But Doc, before we get into the technicals, I want to follow up on something Peter really harped on in the first two segments, and that is the potential of a vaccine, or really something, some sort of a treatment, something that comes into the world that loosens or lessens some of the fears around COVID, and who knows, could even move us towards getting more back to normal like we were last year, or really anytime before COVID came. Doc, your background, not only as a technician, also as a retired physician, give us your thoughts on what you think the possibility of this might be.
Well, I think, probability, now it sounds like they're coming out with a vaccine. In fact, Russia has one and China has talked about it. But the question is, how effective is it going to be? That's the big question. And there's no magic elixirs as far as viruses are concerned. And so this thing might be effective to a degree. But I think more important is, with time, this virus is going to attenuate irrespective of a vaccine. And it's not going to be as strong as it has been. In fact, the death rates are dropping now compared to the number of cases that are coming out. And people can say, well, that's because therapy is so much better. But that's also questionable. So, you know, it'll be nice to have a vaccine, but how effective it's going to be, that's going to be the big question.
But Doc, does it even matter how effective the vaccine is going to be? In my eyes, or at least the concept that I'm playing with, is that as long as there is something in the market that people can take, whether it's effective or not, it's almost a parallel to the flu that we have around, where that vaccine isn't overly effective, but we've learned how to deal with it and live with it through our daily lives. And we could keep the economy and businesses up and running. So even if it's not effective, could that at least help us open the economy back up?
Well, I think much more effective than the vaccine is, if the Democrats win the presidency, then we might see things open up really nicely. But I'm not going to be sarcastic here, but I have been. If they're consistent, if a vaccine occurs and they start the vaccination, if they're going to be consistent, they're not going to stop their lockdown talk until we start to see cases drop, because you can start the vaccine and there can be a lag effect on how it, if it is effective, on, you know, how it affects the number of cases that are happening in the country. So they would have to wait anyway after a vaccine comes in. And frankly, Corey, I think we're not going to see a large number of people vaccinated until this spring. Well, if you look at the Spanish flu of 1918 and 1919, you had an increase in the flu in the spring of 1918, just like we did with COVID. And then you had a little bit of resolution, and then the big jump in the fall, which we're seeing here with COVID. And then the following spring, a little jump, and then it kind of just went away. So you could say, oh, the vaccine did it, but it might just ameliorate itself with time and attenuation and some immunity buildup. So, you know, vaccine's nice to talk about, but I think it may come really late in the game, and the virus may take care of itself in spite of the vaccine.
Yeah, fair enough. And hey, Peter wasn't saying that all of a sudden stuff would be opened up this winter, but looking into next year and maybe the second half of next year, if something does come to market, I do agree with him that there would be a lot of pent-up demand to get into live events, just to get back out to the daily world. So that could provide a nice boost to the economy. But again, is there going to be a vaccine? What is going to enable these governments to open back up? Doc, let's move more into some of the technicals now, because I want to outline some of the longer term charts for our listeners. You focus a lot on these longer term charts. Let's start with the U.S. equity markets. I'm looking at a monthly chart here, and already this month in November, the S&P is doing very well, up a little over 9%. We can see the big drop from earlier this year. Break down the monthly chart and what you are paying the most attention to, please.
Well, when you look at the S&P monthly chart, it looks like we're getting pretty close to a high here again before we're going to have to dip when you look at the MACD. And the encouraging thing is the ADX as far as the bearish ADX line. It's come down, and one wonders when what the next major move is going to be on this market. But if you look at the RSI, we haven't been oversold since 2018 over the 70 figure, and we've been bumping up against it. Now, one could say, well, maybe we're going to take it out again and we're going to have another big run. That's possible. But the way the MACD looks right now, as far as bumping on its upper areas where it's been in the last number of years, I have a feeling that December could still be an okay month, but January might become problematic. And it'll be interesting to see if January does become problematic, because it often signals what the year is going to be like.
So, Doc, when you look at this monthly chart, though, the market is continuing to hug this upper Bollinger Band. We have some of these shorter term, I guess, like the 50-month and the 50 exponential month moving average that are still trending up nicely. They are a bit closer to price. You look at some of these longer term month moving averages, like the 200-month moving average, that's way down there. But I know not as many people pay attention to these long term monthly moving averages. What in terms of Bollinger Bands and moving averages matter to you?
Well, they better pay attention to those longer monthly moving averages, because we know that in the past we always tend to once again seek those out, and they're so slow moving because you can look back at 2010 and 2011 and 2009. They played games with those averages, those long monthly moving averages. And we're going to seek those out again, because we've really separated from them. And so it's looking like it may become a problem in the future, because we're going to have to find those again, whether they rise to meet the pricing, or whether pricing goes down to meet them. And often it's pricing that moves down to meet them, because they rise so slowly and it takes time. So I would be very cautious about this market yet based on that. And it takes so much debt now to secure any increase in GDP. And with our debt to GDP now around 125%, and it's grown exponentially over the last 4 years, there's going to come a point in time where I wonder, okay, at what point can you throw all the money at this thing that you can and it's not going to respond anymore? I think we will get to that point.
Yeah, but when, right? And the markets, or well, the Fed, the governments, they continue to have the power to just throw even more money at it. And I realize that has not really trickled down to the underlying economy, but that money definitely has ended up in the markets. Final quick little technical comment here. Let's talk about the precious metals. I had you on last weekend's show, and you outlined that there could be some downward pressure on gold. Sure enough, Monday, there was a lot of downward pressure on gold, but it has rebounded to about that 1900 level quite nicely. Still a little bit below there. But in terms of this monthly chart, we are in the fourth month in a row where it looks like the gold price will be lower. What matters for this chart?
Yeah, I would hope that for the fourth month in a row, it's lower, because that sets us up possibly for a nice rally in December or January. I feel that we're at about 1900, and we have further to move up. I think we'll move back up to the 1940 to 1950 range, and then we'll see what happens again. We're still hanging around up here, and that's a good sign so far. And I think we're setting up potentially for a move again in the future. And this is playing out exactly as we talked about in August, where we had seen the peak. We thought we would see the peak that month, and we did. And I mentioned that we shouldn't challenge those highs again till the end of the year or 2021. Well, now it's looking like it's going to be 2021 before we ever challenge those highs again. But we're in a good position so far in this gold market. I don't see anything really negative about this gold market right now. We're just in a holding consolidation pattern, and hopefully when we break out of this, it's going to be to the upside, because some of these stocks are looking like they're bottoming out right now, and maybe they will foretell a breakout in gold in the future.
Yeah, I talked a lot about that this week, is how the stocks were performing better, even on that big down day on Monday. A lot of the big stocks and also a lot of the juniors were holding at least some support nicely. But overall, Doc, do you notice the smaller volume that we're seeing, say, on something like the GLD chart? We had a couple spikes earlier this year, but generally volume is declining into the end of the year.
Yeah, and that tells you that people are losing interest here, Corey, again. And that's not necessarily, you know, a negative. That's a good positive. And in fact, I started buying for the first time in weeks on that big drop on Monday of almost 100 points. I thought it was a good buying opportunity. I added a little bit to my portfolio. We have a little ways to go yet, I feel. We're not going to see any major rally, I don't believe, before the end of the year, but it looks like we might be set up for a little rally in January. Because I look at the weekly MACDs on the GDX, GDXJ, and GLD, and it looks like the pressure is still to the downside, and it might be there for a few weeks yet as we move to the end of the year.
All right, Doc, we're wrapping it up there. Thank you for your time again on this weekend show. It's been fun featuring some of your comments on this weekend show and having the full 2 hours to discuss markets and some of the companies that are of interest to me. Doc, thanks for your time this weekend. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.